Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Welcome. Jim Jarvis here, and welcome to Straight Talk episode number 25, if you believe that. 25 episodes as of tonight. Tonight's topic is, how much is it going to cost? And along with my co-host, Han. Han, how are you?
I am great, Jim. How are you
Excellent. Today? Doing well. Yeah.
You want me to give you the weather forecast down here?
Oh, I know it's nice, but guess what? It's nice in northwestern Ohio, and tomorrow is spring, and the walleye fishermen are in the river, and I saw my first walleye come out, so guess what? It doesn't matter how nice it is in Florida. It's going to get great in northwestern Ohio real quick.
So you make you feel good is that we've been experiencing about a week worth of overcast, temperature in the low 70, no sunshine, and it just makes me depressed.
Well, we're gonna change that because tonight we have a really great opportunity. We've tapped into Live Oak Bank again to bring with us. We have a special guest, actually an expert in the financing world when it comes to dental financing. Joining us tonight is a senior loan officer, Brandy. Is it Keck? Is that correct, Brandy?
It is.
Excellent. Well, welcome. And Brandy's experience, we'll let her talk a little bit about that. But Live Oak Bank, if you remember back to one of our previous episodes, we had a young man by the name of a loan officer who just was a wealth of information. We've done some combined presentations at some seminars that deal specifically with dental financing and the SBA loan process. But tonight's show is going to be focused more around the actual costs of construction and how it's so greatly, one, has changed in the recent time, but also, and I mean changed as in gone up, but also is so different from city to city, region to region, and area to area. And that's where Brandy and her expertise is really going to be able to give us a lot of good information tonight. So, Brandy, if you don't mind, can you tell us just a little bit about what you do in Live Oak, and then we can jump into the meat of tonight's subject?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with Live Oak Bank for the past couple years, and prior to that I was with the largest dental-specific commercial real estate firm representing buyers and tenants in the dental world, and prior to that the largest dental-specific conventional lender. So I've been at this a little while, specifically in the Live Oak world. My world is to work with dentists who are looking to expand their practices, primarily when real estate's involved. So dentists throughout the country that are looking to either do ground-up construction or buy a building and do a pretty major expansion renovation type project is where we fit best. My specific territory at this point is kind of a funky Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, down to Tennessee and over to Colorado. So, Jim, when you say, you know, the pricing difference from market to market, even within my world and throughout the Midwest, it's vastly different depending on what city you're talking about. So can certainly hit on some of those pieces for you guys.
Excellent. Now, obviously, you're one of many that are at Live Oak. Is that correct? Because you
actually
cover the whole country.
There's the dental team of lenders is actually fairly small. There's four of us that cover the country, and each of us has an inside partner. So four of us are kind of bebopping around the country. along with our general manager. And then we've got a massive team in conjunction with all of us, from construction specialists, closing specialists, relationship managers. Those are all in-house at Live Oaks campus in Wilmington, North Carolina. But essentially there's four of us running around the country quite a bit.
And you guys have a unique relationship. Mike had touched on that back in our last episode, along with the during that seminars that we put together, that you have a unique relationship with the builders that you work with, the general contractors that work on these projects, specific to their locations. So you have like a database of hundreds and hundreds of builders that you can draw on.
We do. So we track all the data on the projects that we work on, and we've been at this for almost 10 years in the dental space specifically. And on every project, we track the contractors that we work with, the price per square foot, the size of the building, all of the integral details of a commercial real estate project. And at this point, we are closing in on just about 1,000 dentists on our portfolio. So we have a lot of really great data that we can pull from, not only, you know, from project to project, but looking at it year over year from basically 2010 on.
Right. Well, Han, how many times have we had that question asked to us? How much is it going to cost? I mean, isn't that like the second question that comes out of their mouth when they find out who they're talking to?
The first question is every time. every person that we speak with, you know, within the first five questions, they're going to ask you, how much is going to cost me? So, that is a need to know. A lot of time, though, it's kind of weird because they judge what they can do based on the dollar per square foot, mainly. That seems like the rule of thumb or the model that we use. And often that doesn't really truly tell you what the overall cost of the project is.
Well, if you go back,
like yourself, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. If our listeners were to go back and grab a couple of our previous podcasts, like episode number 2 is Who Do I Need on a Team? Well, obviously, one of the first people you need on the team, along with, you know, individuals like Han and I, are, you know, your loan officer, your lending institution, somebody like Brandy, who understands the uniquenesses of dental financing, the uniquenesses of dental costs. And then also go back and listen to episode number 5 podcast when we talk about money. And during that episode, I think we outlined all of the aspects of what an actual project will cost, both soft cost and hard cost, and financing fees, and all those permit fees, all those things that actually add up to the bottom line. But again, I guess to reiterate, tonight's show, we're going to talk about that one little thing that is the construction cost. Construction costs, Brandy, we've seen it. That they have gone up, and they've gone up drastically, even in our little neck of the woods over here in northwestern Ohio. But every time we talk with someone, and we as well work all over the country, and we talk with someone in other locations, these costs have gone up. And I can't even venture a guess on the percentage. What have you been seeing?
Yeah, it's almost mind-boggling how much it's gone up, even in the last couple years. Backing up for a quick second, the fact that your dentists are asking how much is it going to cost is great to hear. And I think the other part of that question is, can I afford it? So getting those numbers pretty quickly are really important to making a project work. And a big piece of that, Han, to your point of it, you know, basing it strictly on price per square foot, well, that's just where it stands right now. That's the cost of doing these projects. So you need to understand even more from that of what's going to work from a cash flow perspective, where the market stands, not only within the town or within the city, but also in the dental community. So, you know, some factors that have really driven up prices more recently has been the cost of steel has gone up significantly. Demand, there's a lot of practices that are opening in more urban settings, and a lot of the dental contractors, you know, there was a period of time where work in the dental space was slim pickings. We are not at that point anymore. So you've got a lot of contractors that have an abundance of projects. And because of that, they are spread thin. And because of that, there's some premiums on some things. And along those lines, the subcontractors under them are at a premium. So, you know, somewhere like Nashville, Tennessee is an insanely hot market right now. Plumbers, dental-specific plumbers, which is one of the most important pieces outside of electrical going into the construction part of the project, are very costly right now there. So it drives up the price of the project. So in general, I don't know that I could give you an exact percentage of increase over the last couple years because it is specific to areas within the country, but it's a drastic difference. And I think dentists have a hard time wrapping their minds around it. If, you know, if they had thought about doing a project 2 years ago and maybe it was, you know, $250 a square foot for ground up construction, now we're saying it's more like $275. That's a difficult thing to wrap their minds around until you can start looking at just, again, the data and where these projects stand across the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen even some higher numbers than that. We saw some stuff that was up in the $350 range. And
Colorado, and that, Nashville, Tennessee, those places are, you know, $350 to $400 right now, square foot.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. So if you do the math, you take, well, you know what, Han, what do we say, a 3,000 square foot facility, for example, being,
yep.
Let's say that that's a kind of an average 3,000 square foot facility times $400 a foot, you're looking at $1.2 million just for the building. Now, $1.2 million.
That's not land or equipment.
That's not land, that's not equipment, that's not soft costs, that's not financing fees, that's not anything. That's just the construction cost. And you're exactly right, Brandy. You hear them swallow really deeply when numbers like that come across, because it's like, you remember the age-old days, neither one of us are that old, but I remember $150 a foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was like the going rate for quite a while.
Yeah, the general question, the general answer used to be, roughly a decade ago, how much it cost to do a build out. You know, the general answer is $100 per square foot. That's a pretty safe number to use. Not anymore. I mean,
no.
You can barely buy paint and change carpet for that. It's a little exaggeration, okay, but it's pretty costly.
There's a couple projects we have going in very rural areas of Oklahoma right now where a dentist had been talking to a local contractor that was non-dental specific and was quoting about $170-$175 a square foot for ground-up construction, and we said, no way. Not possible to do it. And another part of our process is that we vet all contractors that we work with. We make sure that they have a dental specific background. They understand the dental industry. They've done dental projects in the past, because that $175 a square foot quickly turns into $200 to $225 a square foot as they start to get into it, not understanding the details of plumbing and electrical work that goes into the project. And all of a sudden that budget is completely blown very quickly. So, you know, it's really important on the front end to understand what the real cost in the area for a dental specific project to get done, and Han, getting comfortable with that number early on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found
Brandy,
go ahead, Han.
Brandy, could you, when it comes from us, okay, we're in the trenches with the contractor, and we do design all the time and stuff like that. Sometimes we don't, let me say we've been accused of fixing the program so that they come to us. So from an outsider standpoint, from a financial standpoint, what would be the main reason, based on your observation and experience, that you'll recommend that the dentist actually work with a dental specific or a GC that have a fair amount of dental experience versus, let's say, a home builder?
Yeah, so again, we're the largest dental-specific SBA lender in the country. We are the largest SBA lender in the country. So there's about 18 different verticals that we lend to, dental being the largest of that. And we've got about 1,000 dentists currently on our portfolio. We do not work with contractors that aren't dental specific and can't make it through our vetting process. And the reason for that is that it is to protect the borrower number one, the bank number two. When a home builder steps into a dental specific project, not understanding the design of it, the electrical work, the plumbing work, the where the nitrous needs to be, all of the details of the project, of a dental-specific project, the change orders that come in on the back end is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It is insanely costly to the doctor, and also the time difference of what will happen when a contractor has to go back in there and correct the mistakes they've made. You know, you might take what would have been close to a year project, ground up construction, going on a year and a half, 2 years. That is insanely costly to the dentist and puts them in a very bad position. So if there's a dentist coming to us trying to use a home builder, likely we won't be the right lender. And that is, again, to protect the borrower number one. We've just seen too many times where a local, you know, it's a brother-in-law, someone wants to do the work, they've done a commercial building, they've done, heck, even a medical practice versus a dental practice are very different in the plumbing work that needs to go into every single operatory, that, you know, has failed, has gone miserably wrong, caused a ton of problems for everyone involved. So in my opinion, that's one of the top things that you can do as a dentist going into to doing, whether it's a, you know, whether it's a ground up construction project or like we're working with a dentist that's taking a restaurant and converting it into a dental practice. So they're buying the building as it exists today and remodeling the entire project. After you start thinking you want to expand, finding your dental specific contractor, architect, design build firm, start there.
Well, we found that, and by the way, that's an interesting point you bring up, and I want our listeners to really understand. Live Oak deals with both new builds and renovations. It's just only based upon owner occupancy. So you're looking at having people, or dentists specifically, that own their facilities and not lease them. That's correct, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. We do leasehold projects as well, but typically we would say, hey, start with a conventional lender that's dental specific, and if something's not working out there, come to us second.
Right. Well, that's an important point, because there are we see quite a lot of folks that are, you know, either they're new or they're, you know, they've been in the practice for 2 or 3 years and they want to make that next move. And the next move isn't, I can't build a building, but I can buy this existing building and I can renovate it and I can turn it into my new home for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And then either expand if they buy the right one so that they can expand as they grow, or they can sell it off and buy a new one, or build a new one, or they can buy a second location and do two locations. So there's a lot of different ways of doing that, but all of those have different costs associated with them. When you were talking about the steel costs going up, we've heard that as well. We've also seen the unbelievable unavailability of subcontractors. So many of those small subcontractors who went out of business over the last, you know, 8 years, when our economy was in pretty bad shape. They couldn't survive, so they went to go do something else. And just now are we starting to see those new, young, you know, drywallers, for example, or painters, or that kind of stuff. You see them all over the place now. But they weren't there a few years ago. You know, guys that have pickup trucks with their name painted on the side of it, and they go to contractor to contractor. But, you know, they have a talent. They have a specific ability, and the contractors can use them to get, you know, projects done. Now, obviously, your plumbers and your electricians, you know, those are specialized, unique to the dental world, and you want to have one that knows exactly what they're doing. But a drywaller, for example, or a painter or a floor installer, they don't need to be as much dental experienced as the other trade contractors are. Is that correct to assume?
Totally agree. However, I do think it's really important that the GC and the architect on the project are incredibly trustworthy and partners with the dentist, because ultimately that responsibility of how the drywaller, painters, all of them, how those people within the project are doing falls on the GC and architect. So as long as you've got really strong partners there, they're making sure the work is being done by every subcontractor.
And Han, we agree with Brady wholehearted. You need to have an architect and designer who knows how to do dental work, right?
That's a no-brainer. Okay.
and without a doubt, you can have either a project manager or you can have a construction general contractor, but they have to have done this before and have at least a level of understanding, because we have experienced the ones that have not. And Brandy, you are 1,000% right. They get so far over their heads so quickly on the nuances of dental projects that it's almost like quicksand, and you can't get them to come out. You can't pull them out. And it becomes, you know, labor-intensive hours and hours and hours of our work, additional work. It becomes very costly to the owner, because every time you turn around, the contractor saying, "Hey, that was not my bid. I didn't expect that. I need to have additional funds." And so you create that environment where you almost become adversaries. And you're fighting with the contractor because, you know, they're struggling and they want more money. And the owner's saying, "No, I don't want to pay any more money because I expected you to do it this way." And we're with the owner saying, "No, you should have understood based upon these drawings what they actually said." And so you kind of walk that fine line to the point of, you know, you don't want them to fail, meaning the contractor, and, you know, throw up their hands and leave, because that's just another whole mess that you get involved in. And, you know, so you got to kind of weave that fine line to be able to help them to, get the project accomplished. But we've seen it too many times, and we always recommend to our clients, please, when you're looking at selecting the contractor, you got to have someone who's done this before. Dental offices are probably one of the most complicated projects that are out there. Like you said, even medical projects aren't regular, medical buildings aren't as complicated. Now, the specific surgical suites and those kind of things, they're very complicated, don't get me wrong. But a dental office, you know, you're looking at 9 or 10 or 12 operatories. Those rooms, specifically those rooms, there's a lot of stuff that has to happen in there, and it has to be right.
Jim, when you guys are working with a dentist that's looking to buy a building and renovate it, flip it from whatever it is today, whatever small business it is today, are you recommending to your clients that they're coming to you guys on the front end and having you do a walkthrough and kind of figure out whether the space can actually be converted?
We do. And that's really what one of the things that Han specializes in, so I'll let Han talk about what we try to accomplish there.
There you go. Here, to answer your question, Brandy, yes, we always do. Now, I've heard a lot of others that are involved in real estate, other dentist, naturally, contractor will tell you they're the best at looking at buildings. We advocate that the architect involved at the onset of discussing or looking at buildings, because we look at buildings, we look at the potential, how it's used. We don't have any agenda or any incentive, that involved in the design. We could pay based on the service that we provide, not the number of widgets that we can move through that project. Okay, we're trained. Yeah. Architects are uniquely trained to look at building and building systems. They're very creative. They're huge problem solvers. So they look at the spatial potential of the building and how they can utilize or take the building as is and use it and or fix it or add to it or bulldoze it and start new. And they can make those assessments without prejudices. Okay? Contractors are different. The biggest and large amount of energy that we use in educating our clients is that there's a protocol. You never put a contractor in front of a building in front of the architect, because the architect is the guy that we take responsibility for the design, solve the problem, and then hand it to the contractor to build. Often people believe that because the contractor is the guy that built, is the best guy to look at the building for you. In my humble opinion, that's like putting a cart in front of your horse.
Okay? We like to call ourselves either the conductor or the quarterback of this team. And one of the key players, of course, is the general contractor, dental specific general contractor. But they're no more key than, for example, you guys being the financial arm, because when we sit down to initially look at a facility, let's say it's an existing building. Well, matter of fact, we just got a call today from someone who wants us to look at a 3,000 square foot business office. It's on the ground floor. It's in a very urban environment. There's multi floors of housing above it, and he's going to move a practice hopefully into that new location, because the existing practice is in a building that's going to be torn down and something much bigger is going to be put into it. And so we have to look at that thing from many avenues and many angles, everything from the life safety issues, the building code issues, but more so, how would it function as a dental office so that it can be very efficient? And because these costs are so outrageously high nowadays, we're looking at everything we can do to squeeze square footages out of a particular facility to be able to make it as efficient as possible, or at least give the doctor the option to say, okay, if we were to not do cabinets on both sides of your operatory, we can reduce the width of the operatory by a few square feet. Well, you do that times 10, all of a sudden you've added a pretty sizable chunk of square footage that you could take off of the list of operatories and put them into ancillary spaces, so that in total, you maybe be able to get that 9 operatories into a space that wouldn't fit and still give you all the things that you need to get and keep that square footage down. Now, I know it's a dangerous slope to go into just looking at it from a dollars per square foot, because there's still so much to get stuck into these things. And I'm sure you've seen that before. Just because it's 3,000 square feet or if it's 3,500 square feet, that 500 square feet sometimes might not be the most expensive square feet. So sometimes you don't get to take off all of that. I'm sure you've seen that before, haven't you, Brandy?
Well, that and just economy of scales. You know, you might be able to essentially build a 3,000 square foot building cheaper than you could a 2,000 square foot building per square foot. And it just, the economics of it may make more sense to build a larger building. So see a lot of that as well.
Yeah. So with your region and what you've looked at and what you've seen, when we get a dentist who comes to us and say, guys, I want you to help me start this planning process, and whether it's a renovation or whether it's a new build, one of the things we're going to want to do is bring in someone like yourself as part of it. We give them a questionnaire that goes through all kinds of aspects to help us further define exactly what they're trying to accomplish. And once we've got that, then we can at least preliminarily create very inexpensively a schematic floor plan. That schematic floor plan will spatially be able to let them understand how things work, but it also is very crucial to be able to have someone like your general contractor team. It may be, you know, let's say it's in a specific region, let's say it's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you would have, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would have the ability to be able to tap into contractors in Pittsburgh or in that region and let them give you an idea of what this thing should cost in today's market. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. So we would look at data of projects we've done recently in the area. We also, if it's somewhere where we really haven't been or haven't done a project more recently on, we work with everyone in the dental space. So we would reach out to our resources in the area, that being, you know, whether it's contractors or equipment reps or CPAs, attorneys, whomever might be very familiar with the area, to get us in touch with the right people to at least get a good feel for price per square foot, so that we're not way over or undershooting what a project would cost. Because, you know, if you don't have a framework for max budget for a project, you really can't do anything from there, and it's the exercise becomes kind of pointless if you don't have at least a fairly good gauge of going rates of a reputable dental contractor in the area, what that would look like per square foot. And again, to your point, whether that's interior build out or complete ground up construction project, we know those numbers and can help formulate that budget specific to an area.
Right. And then once we've gotten to that point and the numbers at least are close, as in, okay, the doctor says he needs 9 operatories and we've looked at the square footage and this is kind of the layout and what kind it is, and the builder that you have as your knowledge base, your data, is saying, okay, it's this many square feet, it's going to be this kind of range and cost, then you can evaluate the viability of this being a project that you can finance through the knowledge that you've gotten from the doctor and all of their financial side. We haven't really talked about the financial side, but obviously they're going to have to provide you with all kinds of information so that you as the bank are comfortable with what's being done, correct?
Yeah, and in my opinion, I think that that's a really good place to start. Whether the dentist ends up using Live Oak Bank or not, what I can tell you is if it's an established practice owner, what we can look to do is put the entire project, the land, the building, the if it's a ground-up construction, the shell, the interior build-out, the equipment, the working capital, the soft costs, the closing costs, all of that, on one loan amortized over 25 years. I don't know of a bank that does it longer. So from a straight cash flow perspective, we can put together a preliminary budget, max out a budget, and put it on that max term of 25 years and be able to tell the dentist, hey, listen, this is an absolute max for your project. Now, do with that what you want. You might want to, and you should, shop other banks and figure out what options are out there. We might tell you that you could do a project up to $2.1 million, but really your project's only going to be $1.5 million. That's fine, but at least you know the top end of your budget of what works from a cash flow perspective, and then pull back from there. So starting with a pre-approval and a max budget is incredibly helpful to everyone involved in the team, in particular you guys. You know, if there's a couple different options that a dentist is looking at, And one is a $1 million piece of land for ground up construction. And another is to renovate an existing space and the building's $400,000 and you're going to put $500,000 in TIs into it. Well, maybe that project's going to make more sense and everyone kind of moves in one direction or the other. So for a dentist to at least know what a map is and then back in from there can be incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm. Randy, what you just say is so important, and I am surprised that I see just the opposite in the, you know, in the dealing with dentists that I communicate with on a regular basis. Often I heard they would say, I'm talking to a banker, and they want to know what I'm going to spend on my building, whether it's a build out or a brand new construction. The first question I have now that I often ask is, you haven't anything designed, so how would you know what it is that you're going to spend on the building? So I've always thought it would be more ideal, just like buying a house, before you go out and shopping for a home, you want to know what you can afford. That way you're not, you know, if you can afford a total $250,000 home, you're not going to look at the neighborhood where the average home is $600,000 and above, right? So the pre-qualification process, isn't that usually where they should start to find out what they can afford and what, like you say, what they can afford and what is the optimal top that, you know, max that they can go to? Isn't that how they normally should start in the process? So they don't spend their wheel and trying to buy something that's more than they can afford or build something that they can't afford?
In my humble opinion, yes, that should happen every time. It's amazing to me how many times a dentist will come to us and they've already, you know, either paid for a piece of land out of pocket or they financed it to the local bank and just did a couple-year interest-only thing just to get this land secured or bought a building or something along those lines, but never really had a lender break down what they could do or what they could qualify for on the building, on the actual project. And it just seems so incredibly backwards to me. Like, start with figuring out what's possible and then get comfortable wherever the dentist lands within those numbers. And the way we do it, we're including all personal debt and give it a kicker in there to cover everything that wouldn't show up on a credit bureau. You know, your credit bureau is going to show your home mortgage and your student loan payments and your credit card payments and car payments, those types of things. Well, we take that number times 12, so annualize it, and then take it times 2, which would also account for, you know, your entertainment, dinners, clothes, all of that stuff. And so what we're figuring out is calculate that number and put that into the cash flow and figure out what the max budget is so that you don't change your lifestyle at all from the way you sit today to be able to do a bigger project. And is that possible, and what does that look like? And can you get comfortable with it? Because I think the dentist needs to be incredibly comfortable with what that's going to look like before starting this entire process.
We've seen that as well. We've seen so many times where clients have come to us, and we're fine. We'll help them in any way we can, but they've come to us, they've already bought that existing building, or they've already bought that piece of the property and say, you know, now I want to put my new practice on this building or this property. And it's like, if you would have come to us earlier, we could have helped you either at least to have more information so that you could maybe have negotiated a lower cost on that existing building because of all of these issues that you know how to deal with. If you would have had that information from us and others beforehand, you could have used that into potentially renegotiating the cost downward so that you didn't have to spend a premium on that particular part and then all of a sudden be behind the eight ball. And it's like, okay, now what do we do? Well, you're going to have to settle for less. Have you, Han and I run into this way too much, but, you know, it's it's one of those things you have to deal with in our business. We run into clients who are talking with the builder first. And a lot of times, when I say talking with the builder first, I'm talking about more of a design build scenario as opposed to a designer leading the project like ourselves, an architect with a lender that's part of the team, and then a contractor that's also part of the team, but not the one that's actually making all the decisions. What have you seen happen in those kind of projects?
I'm not sure I'm following the question. Are you asking if it's not a design build firm and it's a separate architect and contractor?
Right. Yeah. Where we advocate a separate architect and contractor relationship as opposed to a design build contractor, where the design everything is run through the builder, and that includes sometimes even financing.
Yeah. So. My biggest thing on having those separate, and I think there's some level of personal opinion on this and where the dentist comfort level is and certain firms and certain areas are vastly different than others. My biggest thing to the two being separate is that there's a checks and balances in place at all times between the contractor and the architect. And I think that can be incredibly advantageous to the client, to the dentist, to have that checks and balances in place at all times, and each other, the contractor and the architect, are holding each other accountable, but also are also double checking each other's work. And I think that's really important. And I think that's the biggest thing where we've seen it be advantageous in areas, is having, you know, you're working with two separate entities that are doing their job and making sure the other one is doing theirs as well.
We've kind of found that, without a doubt, that it works much better for the separate architect and separate designer and the contractor, for that reason, and also for the reason that I think in the grand scheme of things, when it's all said and done, the owner actually gets more value for their money, even though in the very front side, most design build firms will say that we can guarantee you a cost. And we can guarantee that you're going to have a facility that is your best possible facility. We've not seen that happen. Once they're on the hook, it's like the fox is washing the hen house. You really never understand what all those costs are. They just kind of get buried. You guys have a very unique but also organized and systematic way of looking at how things are spent and how costs are done on the project as the project's being built, don't you?
Yeah, you mean from a budget perspective of every line item that we put in for the budget?
Yes, from the budget perspective, as well as while it's under construction, your draw process and making sure that you don't have a scenario where a contractor's getting a bunch of money for work that they haven't done and or that they haven't bought.
Yeah, so a couple things on that. So we try to be as transparent with our borrowers as possible from day one. So even in that pre-approval stage and Doc doesn't have a building or a piece of land yet, we're trying to max everything out. We put everything in there. We put what the potential appraisal cost will be and legal fees and title fees and all that stuff. And one of the things that we always put in to our loans, you know, if we think – the construction budget is going to be, just for round numbers, going to be $1 million. We always do 10% of that construction number for arch and engineering fees and 10% in contingency. So we'd have $100,000 allocated for arch and engineering and another $100,000 in a contingency bucket for anything, any change orders, anything that happens throughout the construction project, or I'm sorry, process that may change along the way. And those fees and that bucket may be needed. For the record, probably 75% of our projects right now eat into that contingency bucket. So we try to show everything on the front end and kind of take the Doc to worst case scenario. If you utilize every fund that you have available, this is what it would look like. And these are kind of worst case scenarios of cost for all of it. So we lay that all out. Then during the construction process, there's a construction specialist on the Live Oak team that works with the doctor directly through entire process. They are also working specifically with the architect and the contractor to make sure the work has been done at every phase that we are having inspection done ourselves, so that we're sure the work has been done. We make sure that our borrower is on board before anyone is paid, and that the architect and the architect engineer is signing off on the work of what the contractor has done, so that nothing's getting paid before there's, again, that checks and balances along the way, that those things have been done and we can move on from phase one to phase two and everyone feels really good about the work that's been done to that point. And that happens throughout the entire project.
Brandy, one of the things that impresses me about Live Oak is that process that you just described. And we normally don't deal with banks, because it's very rare that the architects and engineer are viewed as vendors on a project. Okay, the check and balance and everybody's held accountable. I'm very impressed with how Live Oak handled the project, because we work on projects where other lending institutions just simply, their motive, or should I say their push, is when are you going to start to spend and write the check and spend the money that you borrow, and when the construction process start, it's the borrower is on their own. Even though we advocate that the doctor or the dentist who do the project invest into the service of having an architect on the project team from start to finish, that recommendations doesn't always get utilized. So if they don't have an architect on a project, they're on their own, truly on their own in deep water. And if the bank, if the lending institution doesn't have the verification process where before they cut the check, somebody had verified that what had been requested for payment is actually had already been completed. So, and the lien waiver and all that stuff, everything in its place before you would write the next check. We encourage throughout our career is that the worst thing that can happen on a project with a tight budget is that the contractor walk with the money.
Right.
Because there isn't anybody that say, hey, the duration on this new build is 9 months. We're on the second month of the project. Let's say for easy math, it's $1 million. You divide it, you pay them an even increment of 7, and they ask for 50% second month into the project. There's smoke somewhere somebody should see. Okay. And I like the fact that my folks actually are involved in that process and say, you've only done so much work and you request twice as much as what had been done. No. And that protects the client, the borrower, as well as the lending institution. It protects the integrity of the project so that the borrower isn't left with an unfinished project and no money to spend.
Well, the big thing is that we love to work with team members that are of the same mindset. And your mindset and our mindset is one that we want the very best for our client. We want them to succeed. We want them to be in a position so that they don't fail. And we want to help them through that process, because construction and development is a nasty, ugly, and can be a very dangerous place. And when I'm saying dangerous, I mean you can in a heartbeat spend thousands and thousands of dollars that you never expected to spend, and then you have to find a way to try to pay for it. And it can be something that is very, very, very stressful. And if you've not done a project before, which I'd say 90% of our clients have never done this before, this is their first time at this, it can be a scary thing. And we always advocate to get the right kind of people and be part of the team. Brandy, from what you've seen and what you're seeing going on, you touched a little bit about how you've got some really hot regions in the country that are going on. We're seeing that there are some other areas in the country where there seems to be a lot more growth. But in general, though, it seems like it's pretty much everywhere. There's a lot of interest and a lot of dental activity. Do you have anything that you'd like to talk a bit about that? And obviously, you know, what do we do to help them? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, so I agree in the activity everywhere. And I think a part of that is the economy turning. And then, you know, it's not like the option is if you don't buy a building or do ground up construction, then you can lease a space and save a ton of money doing it that way. Because as you guys know, tenant improvement dollars are very high right now. It's really no different. So, you know, interior build out of a leasehold space, maybe depending on where you are in the country. Again, Colorado, I would say on average $130 to $150 a square foot for interior build out on a leasehold space. So a dentist is putting a lot of money into a leasehold space that they will potentially leave in 5, 10 years, whatever it may be. So, you know, there's a big push for ownership right now. That's just something that's happening throughout the country, owning real estate. And I think that another big piece of it is there was a holdout there for a while where a lot of docs who were at a point of wanting to retire because of what was happening in the economy didn't have the ability to do so. So they've hung on longer. And a lot of those dentists are now exiting the market. They're able to transition at this point and sell their practices. Well, during that time, a lot of those practices were falling apart to some extent. There weren't a lot of renovations being done. They weren't being upgraded. And now you have millennials and, you know, dentists in their 40s and so on that are buying those practices, buying those spaces, and want to renovate them, bring them up to 2019 and what things look like now. So there's just a lot of activity, whether it's in leasehold spaces or purchases, purchasing building or ground up construction. It's happening basically everywhere. It's a really great time to be in the dental space, and it's really, really fun to watch. A lot of these projects are incredibly cool, for lack of a better way of putting it. We've got gas stations that are being converted and restaurants and some crazy areas of ground-up construction and cool little spots in California that are you know, tiny areas getting redesigned. So it's fun to watch these. In terms of getting a hold of us, getting a hold of Live Oak Bank, I think the easiest way is our website, liveoakbank.com. And if you get into the dental section, you'll see all of our smiling faces on there. And specifically to me, Jim, I don't know if you want me to give out my contact information or if you put that somewhere, whatever's easiest for you guys.
Yep. We can post that with Randy if you're on the air. Go ahead and give it to them.
So cell phone number is best, and it is an Ohio number, Jim. You should like that. It's 614-949-5851. And my email address is my name. So Brandy, Brandy, .keck, K-E-C-K, at liveoak, L-I-V-E-O-A-K, .bank, B-A-N-K.
Excellent. Well, Han, what did we miss, and what final question do you have for Brandy?
I think Brandy covered an absolutely a lot of valuable, you know, info. Brandy, if you wouldn't mind, here's the question is, can you share, let me see, would you share with the items of cost that typically a doctor may need to finance on the project? Whether, you know, of course, whether it's land, whether it's building, whether it's equipment, you know, soft cloth, and so on and so on. Could you kind of give a shopping list of what some of those costs may be that could be financed to a lender such as yourself?
let me clarify the question really quickly. Are you asking everything that goes into the loan to kind of hit on all of the pieces that are financeable into the loan?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're working with someone like Live Oak Bank, dental-specific lender in kind of the area that we do, the answer is that if it's an established practice owner, everything can be rolled into the loan. So you've got in a ground-up construction project, you have the things that seem like a given, the land cost, the construction, so taking it from up to a shell, then the interior build-out, equipment, working capital. The things that I think dentists forget about in this budget, or, you know, you look at those hard numbers and you say, okay, so it's going to be 1.5 for the land, the construction, and the level of equipment that we're going to need. Good, we're good to go. It's not even close to everything that's going to go into the project, because likely you're not including, the dentist is not including arc and engineering fees into that. The contingency, which again, in our case, is about 10% of the construction cost that will be sitting in a reserve if needed. All of the closing costs, the appraisals, the title work, UCC searches, anything along those lines. Site work. I think this is one that is vastly underestimated of what the costs are going to be, and that's where an architect like you guys can be a huge value add early on in the project. But you know, a dentist may go look at a space and think, ah, no big deal. We're just going to, you know, tear down some trees and shrubs and we're good to go. Well, I mean, site work can be hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's another thing that can be put into the loan, but it's another line item on there. You know, there's not just the equipment being whatever your equipment rep is quoting you in terms of the chairs and cabinetry and any sort of equipment, the bigger pieces you're going to get, but also all of the IT that's going to go into the new space, the office furniture, the staff room, the security systems, anything along those lines. All of that stuff is going to go into the loan as well. So, you know, these projects typically dentists will come to me and say, hey, I think it's going to be around $1.5 million. In my head, I'm already doing some quick math and thinking, yeah, this is probably closer to $1.9, $2 million, and let me break this down for you in what I think total actual cost of the project may be. And again, if it's someone like Live Oak and how we do things, as an established practice owner, that's, it can be done close to, if not 100% financed.
And that would also include permit fees, Brandy, and tap fees. Because we've been in some communities where these fees are exorbitant. I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars.
Great point, and yes, plans and permitting can go into the loan as well, and depending on where you are, to your point. I mean, it may just be a matter of what the property is being zoned for currently, and to switch it over, what that's going to look like. But that'll go into the loan as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That is a huge shopping list.
Well, it is, and it also is very unique in the sense that you guys offer, and Mike talked about that before and also during our seminars, you guys offer this, and that's above and beyond what a lot of other lenders out there are able to do. And so you give opportunities to your clients that really aren't out there available to anybody else. So, you know, hats off to you guys. You understand what dentistry is all about, and you know, dentists are great clients because they typically are really nice, great facilities that make money if they do the work right, and a lot of them do.
Absolutely, it's been a it's a really, like I said again, it's a fun and cool partnership. I think these projects are fascinating and very interesting, and dentists are absolutely wonderful to work with. So we love what we do, and we truly believe it's a partnership with our borrowers. So we're in it for the long haul. We're in it for 25 years if the dentist stays with us that long, and their success is our success. So we try to make sure that they're taken care of the entire way through.
Well, and when they grow so big that they need to do that next building because they're creating their second or third or fourth office, then obviously you've got that relationship and they'd be right there with you. So That's how we look
still
at
it
as well.
Still waiting.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We actually, Brandy, in some of our conversation with some of the doctors that came to us, is that the best advice that we could give them is to, once we take a look at the site, look at the building, and assess the usability of it, the best advice we can tell them, and we have, is to find another location. All right? We're not in it to simply do project after project because we can. We certainly will if they adamantly say, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to do this with or without you. We would rather be on a team to help them to get to the finish line with less pain. But we have actually tell them to find a different location, find a different piece of land and things like that. And I personally humbly state that it's a commitment to to success, a commitment to services, and telling them what they need to hear, not what they necessarily want to hear.
Yeah.
I think set us different.
Yeah.
Jim?
Well, again, I think we're one of the same kind, and it's, we're so thankful for you, Brandy, and Mike, and all you folks at Live Oak coming on and helping our listeners at least get some more information and a better understanding of what's out there. And again, thank you for your time this evening. We'd like to maybe down the road when we have some more opportunities, maybe get you back on the show again to talk about some other aspects of this. But again, thank you, Brandy, and we look forward to a continued relationship as we move forward in helping our clients out.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate you having me on, and would love to be on anytime again.
Perfect.
Appreciate your time, Brandy. Good time. Talk to you later.
We'll talk to you. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
Jim,
well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, very, very informative. And, to our listeners, it's not that you hear it from one person or if you hear it from one group or hear it from another group, but, please go back and listen to the podcast. Get your team together if you're looking at doing something. And get the knowledge base and get the information before you make any decisions about what you're going to do, because there's a lot of folks out there that are in a great position to be able to help and can really set you up to succeed. And that's what this is all about. We want to help to educate, and that's what we're here for. Please feel free to get a hold of us, catch us on our website. Our phone number, it's all on our website, www.hjtdesign.com. And Han, you were going to say?
No, I think, like you say, this is, we have a great time doing this. We're also learning new things. Brandy certainly bring a lot more, a lot of useful information that, that I filled in a few of the gap for me, and I appreciate that. Again, this is resource that can help you, to be more informed and to make the right decision that serve you and give you a better investment, a return on your investment. So, yes, we do encourage you to check it out, because I heard what Brandy say, but I'm going to go and listen to our episode so I can catch the rest. All right, that's it, Jim.
That's it. Well, very good. Look forward to spending some more time with you next Tuesday. We'll have another exciting topic that has yet to been identified. Han and I were talking about what we'd like to speak about, where I think we'll hopefully be able to refine it. And we'll look forward to spending time with you next Tuesday night. Han?
All right. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us. It's been in time with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.